The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome in, folks, here on Big Blue View's post-game reaction show on Big Blue View's YouTube channel and also their audio lineup. I'm Joe DeLeon, joined by Chris Plum, here to talk about the Giants' victory over the Philadelphia Eagles, 13-7, a game that was very seesaw-ish, but it felt like the Giants had some really strong control throughout the majority of it. And one of the things that was just really strange to me, Chris, seeing this, big props to the defense. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a second. But what was really odd, and I think what kept the Eagles out of it, was their odd offensive approach to just throw the ball in very strange situations, despite moving the ball very effectively on the ground.
Yeah, we were talking about this throughout the game. At one point, the Eagles had about twice as many pass attempts as they had rushing attempts. And yeah, it goes against their strengths. You know, Jalen Hurts is obviously not a throwing quarterback. You know, he's better than Sam Darnold, but pretty much only because of his ability as a runner and the way his ability to carry the ball affects the defense and opens up the rest of the offense. I could not figure out what the Eagles were doing, why they obviously game planned to throw the ball as often as they did, because they came out throwing. And they have approximately one wide receiver. Yeah, Jalen Reagor saw quite a few targets, but he's not particularly good. Ward let a touchdown go right through his hands. Watkins, you know, he's nothing special. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Jalen Hurts is just not a particularly gifted passer. Yeah, he has a lot of eye discipline problems. His accuracy is, well, we'll just say not there. But as for all of that, the Eagles were getting a great production on the ground. The Giants really couldn't slow down their running game. And for some reason, they still insisted on passing it. You know, Hurts had those three interceptions. I really kind of only count the first one and the third one. Mm-hmm. The final one was, it cost them 3 points, which would have been big at the end of the game, but there were bigger moments. Most notably, the touchdown from Boston Scott that got wiped out by a holding penalty, the touchdown from Greg Ward that just slipped right through his fingers. Mm-hmm. There were bigger moments in the game. That second interception, it ultimately hurt the Eagles, or helped the Giants, but not as much as other plays. But then that Boston Scott fumble, that I think really changed the game and might have won the game for the Giants.
Yeah, the one thing though, I want to definitely reiterate on here is that that offensive play calling approach by the Eagles really put them in a difficult spot, because like they were running the ball really, really well. And as you talked about, it doesn't really make sense to come into this game. And we even talked about it leading into it, that, you know, they had an advantage going up against the Giants team that they could probably run the ball very well against. But for whatever reason, they came out throwing more than they needed to. I don't even know if Hurts ended up going over 100 yards passing, because I know he had 73 yards for a huge chunk of the game. But there were a couple of those instances where it was like third and fourth down, they kept throwing the ball. And it was not going to work for them because they played right into what is ultimately the strength for this this Giants defense, is allowing a young quarterback to get confused with the coverages and either hold the ball too long and get hit or to throw the ball away. And that's what we saw here. And that was, I think, a really effective play calling day by Patrick Graham, but it also helps that Sirianni and the offense literally played right into it.
Yeah, even basically throwing away 2.5 quarters worth of offensive football, the Eagles still managed to rack up 208 yards on the ground. They were averaging 6.3 yards per carry. At no point in the game did it make sense for them to throw the ball. The drive where Boston Scott wound up, or sorry, the drive before Boston Scott wound up fumbling, I believe it was that one. Or no, sorry, it was the Eagles' first drive of the second half. They were running the ball very well, you know, getting chunks of yardage. And then all of a sudden, for no reason, they just went and threw and basically could not pick up a first down. They had the chance to drive down and score a touchdown, or at the very least, kick a field goal to tie the game up right there and put pressure on the Giants offense, which the Giants offense didn't really do a whole hell of a lot. We're going to get into Freddie Kitchens in a little bit here, but really the Eagles play calling, you know, this, you know, I made note of this throughout the game. This game really shaped up a lot like the Panthers and Saints games, where for some reason, and I could not tell you why, it doesn't seem to be anything the Giants were doing defensively, but just inexplicably, maybe it was just arrogance or cockiness on the opponent's side, but they just went against their strengths and honestly played into the Giants' strengths. You know, against the Panthers, for some reason, they kept putting the ball in Sam Darnold's hands when, you know, you've got Sam Darnold as your cornerback. The Saints game, for some reason, they kept putting the ball in Taysom Hill's hands. And in this game, for some reason, they kept putting the ball in Jalen Hurts' hands and telling him to throw as opposed to run. And the Giants defense played great when they needed to. They capitalized when the Eagles gave them opportunities. But I don't know why the Eagles gave them opportunities. Those were just unforced errors on their part.
Yeah, and separate from that ineptitude, we do have to obviously give this defense a pat on the back, because that they won the football game again, like in the other victories for the Giants. They won off of the performances of the Giants defense. So credit is due here for that performance from the secondary. The defensive line played pretty good. They obviously did not have a great day against the run based on the amount of yards that they let up, but they made plays in situations where they needed to keep the Giants offense alive. And they did exactly that with those interceptions.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. You're a Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this was a game where the defense won, which is what the Giants have been living off of. You know, in really each of their wins, it's been because the opposing team has let the Giants hang around. They have made unforced errors, stupid penalties to hurt themselves, like Nate Herbig wiping that touchdown off the board. Defensive pass interference to give the Giants life right there at the goal line that led to the Giants touchdown, which, okay, Merrick, welcome to the NFL right there. And then just the Giants capitalizing when the opposing quarterback makes mistakes. And this feels like a game where you're just wondering how the Giants managed to win. And it really was because of the defense. The offense was just kind of there.
Yeah, and speaking of the offense, I would like to get some takeaways about Freddie Kitchens and his performance as the offensive coordinator. And I think the one thing that sticks out in my mind is it obviously wasn't better because they only scored 13 points, but there were differences in the play calling that actually made me feel like, okay, this isn't just going to be a three and out. Like, there were a number of drives where I actually felt that they had the opportunity to extend it and keep things rolling. They ran the ball well, better than they usually do. Not well is probably a bit generous. I felt that the red zone play calling was much better. That pass that they threw to Merrick was something that we haven't seen before. And there's a reason why it worked, is that it was a bit unique. It was tricky because it made it seem like he was coming up the block, and then he pivoted and caught a touchdown there. So I can't say Freddie Kitchens completely outdid what Jason Garrett has done, but I would at least say that Kitchens produced positive results. And if he can maybe string together improvement over the coming weeks of the season until the end of the season, where they go from 13 to maybe like 20 points and then 27 points and just start getting more and more offensive output, I would argue that Kitchens could put himself in a position to be considered for that offensive coordinator role. It's obviously a long way to go from there, but I at the base point that I get away from Kitchens is that he at least made me feel a little bit better about the play calling and the decision making than what we got from Garrett.
Yeah, I'll say I like the play design better than what we saw from Garrett. I like the fact that, yeah, even though I'm sure Pro Football Focus will love the play of the Giants offensive line. They only gave up 4 quarterback hits and no sacks. I personally thought that they were getting pushed around a lot. The pocket was collapsing quite a bit, and it was coming up the middle and from the edges. But yeah, even despite that, I liked that the passing game looked further downfield. They actually averaged over 4 air yards per completion. That was nice. Actually, per intended, I believe the completion was 5 air yards, something like that. But anyway, you know, they had over 200 yards passing for the first time in half of forever. And I really like the play design, not just to push the ball a bit further down the field, but also to create some separation, to create easier passes for Daniel Jones. There was one pretty big play where he used Evan Engram, not even as a blocker downfield, but just as an obstacle. It wasn't even quite enough to get flagged as a pick play or a rub route, but Ingram's presence forced a defender to have to run way around him, which gave Daniel Jones the window to fit the ball in and pick up a first down. Yeah, it's little things like that that the offense was missing previously. And again, these are things I'm not sure why we didn't see them, because they were obviously in the playbook. You know, the Giants aren't drawing up all new plays and then installing them in 2 practices. That's just not a thing that happens. They were there. They just weren't getting called. And I think that is really the biggest indictment of Garrett. Now, that being said, the offense was not the reason why the Giants won this game. One thing I noticed was the Giants were in way, way too many third and long situations. You know, they converted a couple of them, but when you are living in 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 11 situations, you know, especially if you run the ball for no gain or 1 yard, and then you have an incomplete pass on 2nd down, That makes things way too easy for the opposing defense. And that's just not a way to put up points, which, as we saw, the Giants only scored 13, which frankly should not have been enough to win this game.
Yeah. And the one thing that I just want to circle back to, you talked about the offensive line. I would like to also give them some props for their performance. And you mentioned that they weren't perfect, but I would say considering the matchup and the matchup that we talked about leading into this, going against a extremely disruptive group, a very talented group that was wreaking havoc and was the reason why that they were winning football games was because of that front seven, that front defensive line that they have, their pass rush, and they were effectively able to neutralize them. Four quarterback hits and no sacks is a really good day, I would argue, for a not very good Giants offensive line going against a top-tier defensive line group. So props to them for stepping up to the challenge.
Yeah, and I really do think the biggest thing that the Giants did for their pass protection was having Jones run the ball early. I think those couple read option runs did enough, and the scrambles did enough to slow down the Eagles' pass rush that they couldn't just pin their ears back. That and the fact that the Eagles' own offense wasn't putting up any points because, well, we already covered that. Yeah, if the Eagles had been able to get ahead, yeah, even if it was even a small lead, you know, like a 7-3 lead at the half, or, you know, maybe a 10-7 lead at one point, you know, I think this game probably would have turned out differently. And I think we would have seen Jones under a lot more duress than basically being able to play with a lead all game long and having your entire playbook open, having quarterback runs open, having the ability to run on first down, even if you're not picking up any yardage.
Yeah, and again, big win for the Giants. We're going to take some time to look at the film, and we're going to do our typical reaction show after looking back at it. I would like to dive in and get some thoughts on what Freddie Kitchens did differently, so we'll definitely key on that stuff. But folks, thanks for tuning in. Be sure to hit that subscribe button.